present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week in the fine city of York at the Grand Opera House. Yorkshire has produced several famous explorers, including Captain James Cook, who charted Australia before his mysterious death in Hawaii. It was Cook and his crew who introduced cricket to Australia. So 100 years later, in 1877, it was appropriate that the very first international match was played at Headingley. In the event, Australia lost heavily due to the poor quality of their bowling. Although, to be fair, bowling isn't easy in handcuffs. When Yorkshire County Cricket Club was founded in 1863, one of their main rules was that no one could play for Yorkshire who wasn't born here. The rule was relaxed in the 1930s, allowing anyone to play who could prove he had an ancestor with Yorkshire blood in him. A player from the Pacific was the first to qualify on the grounds that his great-grandfather had eaten Captain Cook. After the remains of Richard III were discovered in a shallow grave in a Leicester car park, a petition to have them interred in York Minster failed, so he was finally laid to rest in Leicester Cathedral. Anyone planning to visit will be pleased to find they no longer have a speed hump in the car park. The screenwriter Alan Plater was born in Yorkshire, but left in his 20s to seek work in London. He arrived penniless and was soon living rough in a bus shelter with cardboard for a bed. When he was finally reunited with his family from Hull, they wept tears of joy to see how well he'd done for himself. Yorkshire is the spiritual home of rugby league, the northern version of the game, which differs in several ways to rugby union. In rugby league, a team consists of only 13 players. There's no scrummaging or line-outs, and after six tackles, a team must concede possession, whereas rugby union is played properly. That's what it says. That's what I read, because it's true. But rugby league doesn't have a monopoly on playing games wrongly that no one understands. Let's meet the teams. There they are. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Timbrook Taylor and Sandy Toksvig. And eager as ever to enjoy some hot scoring action on the desk next to me, please welcome the delightful Samantha. Well, we start this week with a look at the world of charities. We're a very charitable nation. Indeed, only today in York, when stopped by a nose-ringed Australian with a charity clipboard, I was more than delighted to disclose Timbrook Taylor's sensitive bank details. Now, teams, I'd like you to suggest some names of charities doomed to fail. Barry, maybe you could start.
Blind Dogs for the Guides.
Tim.
The Royal Society for the Prevention of Children.
Sandy.
Children in Tweed.
Graham.
The Imperial Wart Museum.
Shave the Whales.
Médecins Sans Brasier.
Friends of the Girth.
The People's Dispensary for Animal Sick.
The Salivation Army.
Brown Nose Day.
Kelp for Heroes.
The Royal National Love Bite Institution.
colonic relief.
Dyslexia KU.
St. John's ambivalence.
And in Ireland, help the Egypt.
Children in Leeds.
Time for a musical round now, as I ask teams to sing one song to the tune of another. Now, at the piano, we have Colin Sell. And, listeners will be interested to learn that Colin has recently been working with Adele. He spilt tea on his other laptop. So we'll start with you, Barry. I'd like you to sing the words of Don't Mess With My Toot Toot by Denise LaSalle to the tune of Vera Lynn's There'll Be Bluebirds Over the White Cliffs of Dover.
Don't mess with my toot toot. Don't mess with my toot toot. I know you have another woman. So don't mess with my toot toot. When I was born in my birth suit, the doctor, he slapped my behind. He said, you're gonna be special, you sweet little toot toot. So you can look as much, but if you as much as touch, you're gonna have yourself a case. I'm gonna break your face. So don't mess with my toot toot.
Okay, you now, Sandy. I'd like you to sing the words of Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood to the tune of Loch Lomond.
Relax, don't do it when you want to go to it. Relax, don't do it, let go. Relax, don't do it when two actors do it. Relax. Don't do it when you want to come. Relax, don't do it when you want to go to it. Relax, don't do it when you want to come. Relax, don't do it when you want to suck to it. Relax, don't do it when you want to
Sandy Tuxwick there, and
it's always the moment, Jack, that you hope that you're not immediately after the show going to die and it's the very last thing you ever did.
What you have to remember is we work with Jeremy Hardy as So, your turn, Tim. I'd like you to sing the words of the Goodies theme to the tune of Feelings.
Goodies. Goody, goody, yum, yum. Do you need a helping hand? Oh, you know we'll understand. Oh, we're with you right to the end. Everyone needs a friend. Goody, goody, goody. D will show you definitely why you should employ us three. We can take on any old line, anything, anytime. Hi, hi, hi. Goodies, goody, goody. Yum, yum.
Sometimes when you do that to a song, you realise for the first time how good the lyrics are. That wasn't one of those times, but it can happen. Okay, finally, Graham, I'd like you to sing the words of The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face to the tune of Donald Wears Your Trousers.
The first time ever I saw your face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes. The moon and stars were the gifts you gave to the dark and endless skies. And the first time I ever kissed your mouth, I felt the earth move in my hands like the trembling heart of a captive bird that was there at my command. And the first time ever I lay with you, I felt your heart so close to mine, and I know our joy would fill the earth and last till the end of time.
Graham Garden there with the audience in York very thoughtfully eating their crisps in time. Thank you. Well, this next game combines the philosophical complexity of Schrödinger's cat with the intellectual rigour of Immanuel Kant's concept of being. It's called In My Pants. So, teams, your task is to suggest song titles, while mine is simply to say the phrase, in my pants, immediately after each title without raising a smile. Shouldn't be too challenging. Now, in the unlikely event that you are able to raise a titter from the chair, teams, Samantha will be awarding points. So, Tim, you can start.
Someday my prince will come.
In my pants.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
In my pants. Sandy.
Your tiny hand is frozen.
In my pants. Graham.
I've grown accustomed to her face.
Where the bee sucks, there suck I.
In my pants.
I'm forever blowing bubbles.
In my pants.
I've got a brand new combine harvester.
In my pants.
Mouldy old dough.
In my pants.
I can't get no satisfaction.
In my pants.
Things ain't what they used to be.
In my pants.
Here we come gathering nuts in May.
In my pants.
There's no one quite like Grandma.
I tell you my secrets and you use them against me. Well, the next round takes... the next round takes a look at medical conditions. As a qualified doctor, Graham Garden should do well here. Graham keeps in contact with his old doctor colleagues, including those who offer a new super discreet in-home prostate examination service. All they need is a name, an address and a bum-height letterbox. In this game, one team will be suffering from an obscure condition which the other team, as doctors, will try to diagnose. So you can start, Tim and Sandy. The identity of your complaint is now being displayed to our theatre audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here is the mystery voice.
Tim and Sandy think they're penguins. Tim and Sandy think they're penguins.
So, Tim and Sandy, please enter the surgery of Doctors Barry and Graham.
Morning.
Do come in. Take a seat.
Thank you.
And what seems to be the trouble?
Well, I'd like to say what it is, but I've got cold feet.
I'm sorry we're late, Doctor. We stopped to pick up a chocolate biscuit. don't you know what's wrong with us? Have you not read any of our books?
Tell you, Sandy, what your problem is. You always wanted to be, what was it?
A nun.
Well, you got the outfit.
Oh, you king of the well-dressed.
Emperor, please.
Well, I don't like the clothes. They're no good for pole dancing.
Well, it depends which pole.
Look, I don't think you should be talking about poles in front of the doctors.
Sorry, I was just trying to break the ice. heavens, is that the time we must fly?
Oh, no, we can't.
We can't, no.
There's a climate involvement here.
Yes, there is, and I think they're penguins.
Indeed.
Very well done.
Okay, your turn to be the patient's Barry and Graham, and you've just been summoned into the surgery of Dr. Sandy and Dr. Tim. And here again is the identity of your mystery medical condition, the display to the audience. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Barry and Graham think they're Sepp Blatter. Barry and Graham think they're Sepp Blatter.
Hello.
Yes, do come in.
Sit down.
Yes, right.
What seems to be the matter?
Nothing.
Nothing? What do you mean, what?
Nothing. I don't know what all the fuss is about.
Exactly.
Everything's fine. Fine.
Are you a bloke?
Well, if you expect me to answer that, it'll cost you.
Yeah. I'm as fit as a fiddle.
Maybe not the right word.
Yes, exactly.
No, I've been taking plenty of exercise lately. Running, diving, ducking and diving.
Is anything wrong with me, for instance? No. I have no knowledge of it.
We're not aware of anything, no. No, and, I mean, I should know if there was anything wrong, because I like to keep my finger in the pie, well, on the till, not on the pulse.
I've developed this lump.
Yes.
In my wallet.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything serious, so I've come here to ask you not to take a look at it.
Wondering if you could recommend a trip abroad or something like that.
Yeah, we were wondering where to go.
Russia or...
America.
Yes.
Can you help? I mean, maybe you could vote and we'll tell you where we've booked.
There's quite a lot of choice here, actually. Yeah. Are you having any urinary trouble at all? I thought perhaps your bladder might be in trouble.
Well, the next game celebrates clichés and idioms. A cliché is, of course, an expression that's lacking original thought, whereas an idiom is an over-the-counter diarrhoea treatment. Teams, in this round, I'd like you to suggest some well-known English clichés together with their real meaning. Sandy, you can start.
I find I'm caught between two stools. Will somebody please clean this lavatory?
Tim.
You're full of beans this morning. Open the window, would you?
Barry.
When he sees red, there's no stopping him. He's a cyclist.
Graham.
That's a feather in her cap. Whenever she practices birth control, something makes her giggle.
It's hopeless. We're going round in circles. We're stuck in York's one-way system.
Walls have ears. Ugh, what's that in my ice cream?
He says there's more than one way to skin a cat. He makes kebabs.
I've made a clean sweep. I put Sooty's friend in the washing machine.
He swallowed his pride. Longleat were not feeding him properly.
We've been through thick and thin. We've read the Beckham's fanzine.
Well, the next round is all about business and consumer cock-ups. Business world is littered with hard luck stories. Our own Timbrook Taylor recently saw an advert on the television, called the helpline and found he'd been correctly sold PPI. Turned out he owed the bank $4,000. This is an improvised round in which one team are the bosses and the other team are members of staff in for an appraisal following a series of unfortunate incidents at work for which they appear to be responsible. As the bosses list these various cock-ups and disasters, the staff members should attempt to justify themselves. So can you start, Tim and Sandy? You work as painters and decorators at the National Gallery. And you, Barry and Graham, are their bosses, and you're about to summon them into the boardroom for an appraisal. Off you go.
Now, I don't have to tell you that we're dissatisfied with the job that you did.
Well, why? What have we done wrong?
I can't think why.
Well, you were engaged as painters and decorators to paint the walls of the gallery, I don't know what colour you'd call that that you put up there. Green, some sort of green, lime green.
A lime, yes.
Yes, it painted a lime green. Do you think you should have taken the paintings down first?
It gives them a sort of spring-like feel, doesn't
that's,
it?
That's extra as well.
Yeah.
That's lifting.
And as you did take some down, and I believe you tried to improve them, is that right?
Well, the odd moustache here and there doesn't do any harm.
Well, yeah. Mona Lisa.
Yes, now I should explain that many of the paintings here are on loan from galleries all over the world, in case there are any pedants listening. Well, the Laughing Cavalier.
Oh, he's not laughing now.
No,
he?
He's not, is he? No. How did you manage to do that?
Well, sometimes you're a bit bored. Drawing a male appendage seems amusing.
Yes. Speaking of which, Michelangelo's David.
Yes.
Or Divina, as we must now know it. Was that just carelessness?
I didn't have a good grip when we moved him.
Seems to me you had an extremely good grip when you moved him.
She's still got it in her hand. It's very...
I'm not very tall. It was at eye height.
Hey, Wayne, by Constable.
Language.
Yep. We put a moustache on that, too.
It doesn't look very like Mr. Rooney, but it's recognisable.
Looks fairly like him.
And the scream, the famous scream by Vermeer. Used to be the girl with the pearl earring, didn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
She does look more startled now, I'll give you that.
Yeah. I mean, people are going to come into the gallery and think these paintings are a disgrace now. The Jackson Pollock there.
Yes.
That huge Jackson Pollock on loan from Peggy Guggenheim, wasn't it?
Yes, indeed.
And she left the entire collection to her dog.
Yes.
Oh. And the
known as the dog's Pollocks. Yes.
I wondered where we were going with that.
I'll be honest, I'm new to this game. I never saw that one coming.
Well, let's try that the other way around. This time you can be the staff, Barry and Graham, and you're the customer service employees at an entirely imaginary budget airline who aren't based in Ireland and are not at all litigious. You, Tim and Sandy, you're the airline standards inspectors, and you've arrived at the airline's headquarters to question Barry and Graham.
Hello. Mind if we come into your office and ask
yes,
you...
Yes, come in, Begorra.
Yeah. Yes. And ask you a few questions, if you're free.
Yes.
If you know what free means.
Yeah. Do you want to sit down while you're here?
There aren't any chairs in here.
Well, I don't think you booked chairs, did you?
Well, could we have a coffee?
You can certainly have a coffee,
yes. Yes, free.
I suppose you'll be charging. Oh, you're not charging, huh?
No, the coffee's free.
The cup is extra.
Now, look, let's just get to the facts here. You were thinking long and hard about charging for the use of the toilet, and we're very pleased that you have finally decided to keep use of the toilets free, so that is very good.
Yeah, well, we have an outside toilet now.
There's a hole in the wing. With a couple of foot plates either side of it.
Yes.
It's a little strap you can hang on to if you
exactly.
want.
You don't charge for that at all?
No, we don't. No, that's absolutely free. You don't need paper either.
We've never had a customer come back off the wing and complain.
Never.
Here's an extract from our in-flight survey. It says, I know some passengers complained about bad service and a heavy landing, but I didn't notice anything. In fact, I slept through most of the flight. Now, does that sound like a happy passenger?
Sounds like the pilot, actually.
Yes.
We've had a few complaints about the legroom on your planes.
Oh, no.
Yes, would you say you used a legroom tester, is that right?
Yeah.
Warwick Davis.
Yeah, we guarantee that every seat has a clear 10 inches between it and the seat above it.
Well, that seems terribly reasonable. I'd like to invest in your company.
Yes, well, let me sell you a ticket.
Thank you.
Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to fit in a quick round of Pensioners Film Club. Now, Samantha tells us she enjoys regular foursomes with some gentlemen OAPs playing contract bridge. And she says with a good hand and a choice pair, she's usually able to raise them. They generally get through several rubbers between them.
It shouldn't be allowed.
Teams, I'd like you please to suggest the titles of films likely to appeal to an audience of pensioners. So, Graham, you can start.
Oh, brother, where am I?
I knew who you were last summer.
Tim?
Care Home Alone.
Sandy?
Romancing the Crone.
Aches on a Plane.
Once Upon a Time in My Vest.
There's something about Mary, but I can't remember what.
Guess who's burning your dinner?
Stool of Rock.
The Enema Within.
Good Pill Hunting.
God knows what I did last summer.
Life of Bran.
The Matron Reloaded.
Close Encounters of the Blurred Kind.
Carry on, Doctor.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the Purcell non-bio of time begins to dissolve the grease mark of eternity and the filthy stains of destiny is avoided by the A30 bypass of existence, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the teams, Samantha and myself and our audience here in York, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Pryor, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and Sandy Toksvig have been given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Ian Pattinson and Fraser Steele, and the producer was John Naismith.
And that was a BBC Radio comedy production.